John chapter 8, verse 11, excuse me, verse 8, verses 1 through 11, is an account of the woman taken in adultery. I feel if you've got any religion in you at all, you know something of this. And how Jesus told her to go and sin no more. Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And then when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'd ask you today what it is that changes a sinner into a saint. I mean, you could get so many religious answers to such a rhetorical question. What changes a sinner into a saint? It can be nothing else but the Holy Ghost of God. We understand very little in religion today about the Holy Ghost of God, the third member of the Godhead. And if anything else has been the cause of a change in a human, you, I, or anyone else, then you're yet your own. Unless the Holy Ghost has moved in to your mortal body. So I'd ask this morning, how are we to know that the change has been wrought? I mean, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, he's all-knowing. But what of you and I? How are we to know that this change has been wrought? Did not those he never knew call him Lord? First and foremost, listen, a sinner becomes a saint. As sure as black is turned into white, as sure as a night is turned into a day, and let me say in experience, as soon as death is turned into life. That which was vile becomes a holy child of God. A son of God. Many is led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. An entirely different creature. Now listen to me. An entirely different creature from what one once was. In that all things, not some things, are become new. And this can only be had by a total, complete rebirth. A new creature. Not partly new, wholly new creature. And I can't stress that enough. Are you yet free? As free as this woman taking it, are you free? Are you free of sin? You're either free or in bondage. Most I know, they're still in bondage. They got all sorts of hang-ups. And yet they claim Christ. What I've observed most in religion is the same old creatures with but new doctrines. They get a doctrine. It might be that they might get as far as a doctrine of election. They might have a doctrine, some sort of doctrine about the Holy Ghost. I've watched them in Pentecostal church. They'll have all sorts of doctrines, and they don't any more know anything about the Holy Ghost than anything else. And I've seen people with doctrines of salvation in Baptist churches, and I've seen doctrine of saints in Catholic, and I've seen all these doctrines. But I don't see new creatures. And you better get that. Doctrine does not a new creature make. Death and rebirth must occur for total change of nature. Old man crucified, old man buried. Let me ask, what sins are left in the atoning sacrifice of Christ Jesus? What sins did he leave on the cross? What sins did his blood not cover? Was he not manifested, the Bible says, to what? Take away our what? Sins. Some or all. Do we now have 30% Christians? Do we have 60%? How much of you did Christ Jesus make new? How much of you? What did he save? All of you? Part of you? And yet I've known many, even in our own midst, well, not my flesh. Well, we're going to look at that. Did some things become new? Some things? You still have loose ends to tie up? My Bible says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. 1 John chapter 3. My Bible says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's what my Bible says. Now what, well, what does that mean? I don't know. I don't have to know what it means. That's what my Bible says. So I'm asking if you are in the body of Christ. The church. Is not Christ the church? A virgin, holy, unblemished. I find he accepts nothing less. I don't find any place in Scripture where he accepts anything less than that. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. We'll read verse 11 down through verse 14. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? Listen, this is the way most are going to be that day. He's speechless. He thought he was in. He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I've told you many times in times past, this wedding garment. Is it not the righteousness? Listen, the righteousness of the saints. Look at it, Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7 and verse 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Where do we get off declaring that clean which is yet unholy, which is yet dirty. Salvation has simply become a declaration. That's all. Symbolic. As even those, as those like John MacArthur declares, it's the blood is symbolic. And so you end up with a symbolic, symbolic blood, symbolic atonement, symbolic holiness, and symbolic salvation, and symbolic saints, and everything is symbolism. I felt like I'd committed, I told my golfing partners yesterday, I felt like I'd committed idolatry. I said, do you hear what's going on here? We're talking to golf balls. When you hit a golf ball, it's an inanimate object, and you go, whoa, or go. And how often do we do that? And I mean, that's what the idolaters do, you see, symbolic. A lowering of standards to create symbolic Christians. Why, if we held up these standards, why, we wouldn't have any members. Amen. Yeah, that's, how about that? Well, nobody'd come. Well, how about that? You see. Creating symbolic Christians, but a symbolic salvation. Just as so-called today, transgender, whatever that is. Now they've got a man's going to run in a woman's event in the Olympics. Or how about a non-white declaring white for a race? You can put whatever you want. When you fill out your ID card or your driver, you put whatever you want, you see. Male, female, black, white, saved, lost. Well, who declared you saved? Nobody had ever declared me saved. I got saved. Our God deals only in reality. He was speechless. Friend, he was speechless. Either Christ is in you or he is not. Either you've been born again of the Spirit of God or you have not. Either you are a totally new creature or you're not. Folks, that's how simple that it is. Know you not Christ in you, except you be reprobate, a fool? The continual excuse of the body. Now here we go. I've heard it. I've heard it from deacons in this work. I've heard it from preachers, professors. The continual excuse of the body as the flesh always enters into holiness discussions. Doesn't it? Oh, well, it's just my flesh. And it's the excuse that all professing but non-Christians fall on. It's their sword of choice. Oh, it's just my flesh, preacher. Yep. The same flesh that's to be a living sacrifice? That flesh, sir? The same body that you present holy, not part of? Everything except your dirty mind, or that flesh, sir? The same flesh that's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Excuse me? The temple of the Holy Ghost? That flesh? Or how about, sir, 1 Corinthians, know you not that your bodies, this is body, your earthly body, are members of Christ? Just your flesh? Look at it, 1 Corinthians 6. Starting in verse 15, know ye not? What, you don't know that your bodies are members of Christ? Oh, it's just my flesh. What kind of flesh do you have, sir? Shall I then make the members of Christ, take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? And as only Paul could say, God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? So you're either, look, you're either a harlot or you're not. You're either in the flesh or you're in the spirit. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You see it? Look at verse 20. For you're bought with a price. He forgot to buy my flesh. Come on, church. Therefore, glorify God in what? Oh, excuse me, your body. Your body. Your flesh. Of course, well, you in my flesh dwells no good. Yeah. I know all about that. That guy's dead. You can't have it both ways. You're going to say, in my flesh dwells no good thing, when he said, your bodies are members of Christ? Come on, Jerry. You see? When you don't have the whole, and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body. And they walk in like harlots claiming Christ. I've seen them. God forbid. Well, that's my flesh. Well, partner, you've got a problem. Every temptation, yeah, common to man. You ever read it, 1 Corinthians 10:13? Every temptation common to man, yeah, of course. But bless God, a way to escape. And that's why others can't. They can't escape. They have no way out. It's their nature. How do you get out of that thing? Always falling back. Always falling back. I've seen them for years and years and years in every denomination, every faith, every walk. Always falling back. Always in bondage to the flesh in which dwelleth no good thing. Friend, if God's asked you to offer your body and it's Christ in you, and Christ's a member of your body, you better move on. After all, what else is there? I'm a soul, and I'm surrounded by flesh and spirit. So my soul, or some say my heart, is ruled by what? It's ruled by what I am. It's either ruled by the flesh, or it's ruled by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God which lives in me. And it doesn't vacillate. And yet here they come. Liars, cheats, drunkards, dope addicts, harlots, effeminate, adulterers, fornicators. And possibly the number one thing today, pornographers. Pornography. I see it all day at work. You go up and say somebody's staring at the phone. And I get close to them and I said, what are you looking at? And they say, you don't want to see this preacher. You're right, I don't want to see that. All they need to do is look at this piece of small plastic. Pandora's box. But not a child of God. That'd be feeding the flesh. That's not feeding the spirit. It's feeding the, that's your herd. Right there in their hands. Human beings acting like dogs. Sodom and Gomorrah. All manner of uncleanness, consumptions, and lasciviousness. I've seen, recently, I've seen two career men removed from position for that right there. And both those men claimed Christ. But they made lewd and lascivious remarks to the women that were around them. And both of them claimed Christ. I talked to both of the men. Haven't we all been thus in times past? If you haven't, you can say that you can add a liar to your list. The chief of all sins, by the way. The woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, Jesus told what? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Anybody believe that this woman caught in adultery and set free? She was this close. She was that far from big rocks busting her skull open. One moment in great pleasure to the flesh, serving the flesh, committing adultery. The next moment, death. Anyone believe a woman like that as a hog would go back to the mire? Anybody believe like a dog she'd return to the vomit? Folks, I'm asking you. And if you believe such, you surely never come to yourself. I can say with a surety, those who've been condemned as sure as the woman caught in adultery, that once you're set free and you're told to go and sin no more, all you can say is amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. You have set me free from the power of sin and death. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, when you read that verse in Romans, in the context of the words we've just heard, if you just read it, but if you read it in the context of the new birth, in the context of the woman and the others, many others we did, it just all folds together. How? Paul says, how? How? I've said that for over 30. How? Sir, ma'am, you claim to be dead and you're living in sin. And that preacher, how? How? What are you talking about? Folks, I don't know about you, but when he said, go and sin no more, the gig was up. The game was over. And that old man was as dead as anybody in a graveyard. People have said to me for over 30 years, preacher, you better not talk like that. You're going to fall. You're going to fall, preacher. You better not talk like that. And I said, I don't know about you, sir. I don't know anything about you, but I know about me. I know who lives in me. I know who saved me. I know who set me free. I have a new nature. Sir, it's not my nature to sin. You say you don't ever sin? I didn't say that. I said, sir, it's not my nature to sin. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Bet you that woman in John chapter 8 is the same. Anybody think she'd go back and commit adultery ever again? I bet she ran as far, just like Mary Magdalene, the harlots in the Bible. They ran as far away from sin. Their legs could get them. Deliverance in Christ Jesus, a new birth. And don't accept anything less than that ever. Ever. And you stay on your knees, you stay on your face until you get it right. until you come up off that ground, a new creature from whence you went down. That's the new birth in Christ Jesus.